Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the gaming industry's longest-running podcast, now entering our 15th year. This week, we feature an interview with Michael Broderick, the general manager of the Sherwood Valley Casino, about his innovative marketing campaigns and unique operating approach at a small Northern California casino. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by RIMAX, the industry's largest incentive provider and experts in customer loyalty, employee recognition, player loyalty, and corporate gifting. For more information, visit RIMAXinc.com.
Remember what we said and done and felt about each other. If they had
Michael Broderick has spent much of his career in Indian country, working his way up the ladder in the marketing side of the business. Now his first general manager position at the small Sherwood Valley Casino in Willits, California, Broderick recalls some of the unique and sometimes crazy marketing campaigns at his previous casinos. Now at the one casino owned by the Sherwood Valley Band of Pomo Indians, Broderick has new challenges that he faces with his usual positive outlook and innovative approach to marketing. He spoke with me in Las Vegas in October at G2E.
Tearing yourself away from me now, you are free.
Michael Broderick, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Thanks for coming up and seeing us here at G2E. You've got your hands full in California, but I want to just go back into your background a little bit and talk about where you've been, what experience you've had, and that kind of thing, so that people are familiar with your background.
Oh, sure, Roger. Well, I've been doing this. And number one, thank you so much for having me here. I hold you to high esteem, especially as one of the definitive inside people in the industry, not only in the corporate gaming side and the Nevada part, but also you've pretty much found your niche also with Native American gaming, which
my favorite story in the business, Native American gaming. It's changed the whole culture.
So. Yeah, and your work has always been the go-to to kind of find out what's going on for real.
Great.
I appreciate and flattered that you'd have me here today. No, I've been doing this. I think most of the people that don't come out of UNLV kind of fell into gaming, and right. I was the same way. Yeah. I was actually, my very first gaming gig was down in South America. I worked at a small casino there called Casino de Juegos de Coquimbo, which is now the Casino Enjoy, owned by the Martinez brothers.
In Chile.
Yeah, in Chile. Okay. But back in those days, it was very different.
Right.
And table games was the action, and they played it like the old Monte Carlo casinos with the croupiers and the chemin de fer. And the slots were the old bally slots, which was still in gears, and tokens. Oh, it was crazy. So that was my first introduction, and I was only 18 years old.
Wow.
When I came back to the United States, I joined the Marine Corps. I found myself stationed in 29 Palms, California. Originally in the Marine Corps, I was in the reserves. I was supposed to go back to New York. I'm originally from New York. But I had met my beautiful wife in Palm Springs.
Okay.
So I decided to stay there, and I needed to get a job. Right. And I said, well, there's a casino down the road called the Spa Hotel Casino. Let me go over there and see if I can be a customer service rep. So I went there, interviewed for a customer service position in marketing. They said I had too much experience, which was that was like a mouthful. I'm okay. And they said they have this other position called marketing coordinator. And I was, would you be interested in that? And I was like, well, sure. That sounds interesting. And I said, well, does it pay the same? Because I remember it was like $12, $13 an hour to be the customer service rep. They're like, no, it's a salary.
Yeah.
I said, well, what's the salary? And it was $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I almost collapsed on the floor when they told me that. So one thing led to another, and I started working in gaming. And it was a pretty exciting time because back then we were still Class 2, kind of gray market. California was on the cusp of evolving into the monster that it is today. I mean, I remember when, the spa was the old banquet room as well as a sprung structure. Kauia Casino was sprung structure. Pechanga was just a bunch of trailers lashed together.
I remember going to see the Pechanga in those days.
Yeah. Morongo, which is now the bowling alley, that was used to be a watering butter plant. So it was quite an interesting time to be part of and to grow into it. I was fortunate enough to be part of that whole evolution of going from that gray market and evolving into a class three gaming, and then having people who were professionals in the industry actually being willing, because a lot of the people had issues because of the gaming licensing. Right. They were concerned that if they worked in California, that possibly that their license wouldn't transfer to other states, or they would get in trouble with those jurisdictions. Fortunately, it was all grandfathered in. And from there, I never looked back. You know, I always consider gaming to be a very eclectic and interesting group of professionals. We're kind of like this island of misfit toys. We don't really fit in other places and other industries. But for some reason, because we're sort of a little different, we work really well in this business. And I've had the good fortune to work with a lot of mostly Native American companies, as well as private entities that have managed for Native American properties. And, you know, to this day, I'm still in it 26 years later, and I'm general manager. I'm leading a company now in Sherwood Valley Casino in Willits, California.
Okay. So this is your first general manager position?
No, this is actually my third.
Okay.
I was the interim general manager at a place called OK Casino in Okawinga or Española, New Mexico. And then I was general manager for Cahuilla Casino, which is that little place on top of the hill. Beautiful property, beautiful people. And now I've been at Sherwood for over a year.
Okay.
And that's definitely been the hardest part of this business is, you know, sometimes in order to move up or just because of the nature of the business, you move on.
Right.
So it's taken us all over the place. But my wife, hasn't been easy for the family, my children.
That's always tough.
Yeah. She always jokes. She says, you know, I never wanted to marry a Marine because I didn't want to move around a lot.
Right.
Well, not only did I marry a Marine, we're also moving around a lot because of the business.
Yeah.
But it's brought to us a lot of things that who knows in any other type of industry we would have gotten.
Sure, no question. And, you know, I'm sure each stop along the way has been an interesting experience for you.
Absolutely. And all learning experiences. And, you know, I find great joy in working for companies that I know the fruits of my labor actually go to their economic sovereignty and well-being.
Right.
And you see some of these tribes, you know, and I've worked for big tribes that have a lot of money, like the Seminoles.
Right.
And I've worked for some small tribes like Willits, where they really depend on the revenues we generate in order to provide programs for the elders, to provide housing, to provide some sort of bridge gap between their earnings from their labors and what they make. It's not easy for a lot of these places. And that's a tremendous responsibility.
Sure, no question.
Because a lot of tribes don't have a whole lot of economic diversification except for this. So I carry that in my heart. It's a little stressful sometimes.
Yes,
but
that's stressful. But that's what you get in the
absolutely.
General manager position.
Yes.
So explain you know, where Willits is and what your market is.
So Willits is located in Northern California area, Mendo County. It's the gateway to Mendocino County near the Redwood Forest. It's about 3 hours from San Francisco. Fascinating thing. It's considered the Emerald Triangle, so the cannabis industry was pretty important up there.
Sure.
And actually, before the whole California legalization, there was quite a lot of cash flows because of that industry up there.
Right.
And a lot of the casinos and the tribes benefited from that. When the law changed, there was actually a significant change in the market. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't as much money floating around, and there's been a definitive impact on the business.
So a bit of a downturn then.
Yeah, a bit of a downturn.
Okay.
But the hard part is the labor market, the housing market, going to the service stations or to the supermarket, all the prices still reflect back in those days.
Right.
Plus, you'll find that in the San Francisco Bay Area, the housing market and the pricing everybody out. So there's, you know, it slowly starts to radiate out.
Sure.
Well, you can't go any more west because there's water.
Right.
So and you really don't go too far south because it's not very habitable. So they're starting to move their way north, and it makes a bit of a challenge, especially for some of the smaller operators to compete, or at least for the labor market to get the right type of people there working for you and being able to pay the wages and salary you can pay that is also livable in the area.
Sure. So how many competitive casinos do you have up there?
Well, quite a handful, a number of rancheritas. There's Coyote Valley, there's Robinson, there's Running Creek, there's Conocti. And then there's some of them on the periphery that are more towards the east.
Okay.
And we pretty much compete for that slice of the pie up there. The biggest metropolitan area, and I say that loosely, is probably Ukiah.
Okay.
But it's still a pretty small community.
Right. So are you closer to the Oregon border?
No. That's we're a number of hours away. Okay. We're like... Like I say, we're in a funky little place between Santa Rosa, California, and Eureka.
Okay.
Like, right there in the middle.
I see. Okay, great. So explain the property. Slots, tables?
Small property, slots. It's like a little shoebox on top of a hill.
Uh-huh.
We have under 300 machines, so we're considered to be a non-gaming tribe.
Okay.
No tables, but I installed the inner block pods so that people get that table games blackjack feel.
Right.
We kind of market ourselves as the locals dive bar of gaming, you know, which I have a great friend. His name is Jim Russell. He's actually out at Commerce Casino right now. He's been in the business for a while, East Coast guy too. And he says, you know, I worked with him at Seminoles, and he says, you know, I love Classic. There's smoke in the air. There's whiskey in the carpets. And it's just people go in and feel comfortable.
Sure.
And there's something beautiful and eloquent about that. Tony Bourdain, God rest his soul. You ever watch Tony?
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, you never saw more pleasure than this guy walking into some old school dive bar that it's just kind of beat up and dingy, but there's sort of a charm to it. Mm-hmm. And that's definitively what our property is. It's not pretentious. You'll get a good game. And you'll get great friendly service. We try to make it in, you know, I've originally came from marketing, so we've worked really hard on making some of our marketing propositions competitive compared to everybody else. But moreover, you get a good bang for your buck, and we take pride in that.
Yeah. So I guess you have a lot of regular customers that are coming.
A lot of regular customers. Mm-hmm. A lot of regular customers. And, you know, it just like in any other jurisdiction, they kind of run the gamut of very friendly people who are very engaged with the property and the management and the team members. And then there's some people who just are very discreet and just want to go in and play for a while or kick back and relax and enjoy themselves. So we learn to cater to those different type of players, but it's like I said, it's not a big property,
right? Sure.
It's not a high end type of property. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a whole lot of comps.
No six
restaurants or multiple rooms. But you'd be surprised about how many people just want to go and have some chicken wings and play some of the penny slots for a while.
Okay. Any Asian play?
No Asian play. A lot of Hispanic play.
Okay.
And I think it's because of the agricultural endeavors that are in the area. So we definitely have a lot of Hispanic, you know, Spanish is, English is their second language type of players. Good, hardworking people. And then there's a lot of locals, retirees.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know... At the end, I've been doing this for a long time, just like you have. And at the end of the day, it's a 60-year-old plus female is the core of your database.
Right.
And that's pretty much, I don't care where you go, it's going to be the same thing.
Right.
So it skews obviously older at our property, retirees, fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important avenue, an escape for them.
Yeah.
Our sponsor this week is RIMAX, an incentive powerhouse. RIMAX engages, empowers, and excites your customers and employees through the power of premium incentive merchandise. With access to over 15,000 trending products from 400 of today's top brands, RIMAX offers an unmatched portfolio of premium rewards that engage and inspire. Whether you're focused on corporate gifting, employee engagement, player loyalty, or customer retention, RIMAX has custom design programs to fit all of your incentive needs. For more information, visit RIMAXInc.com. Now back to our podcast.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the tribe. How many tribal members is there?
Gosh, a little over 300 right now.
That's a relatively small tribe.
Good people, hardworking people, great council. Fascinating, the entire council right now are all women. So, you know, you go to the meetings, or I go to the meetings, and it's really, I don't want to say it's humbling, but you do realize the importance of what you're doing when, you know, you'll have a tribal member go and ask council for assistance in moving or burying a loved one or some kind of financial emergency, and they only need a couple $100. And council has to go back, and because it's government, they have to look at, okay, can they accommodate the request? Where's the money going to come from? And then I'm up next, and I want to spend $25,000 on just one slot machine. Pay another $30,000 to do some kind of feasibility study. So for me to be able to go and listen in, and I've been fortunate enough to have been part of some of the economic development that they've been doing, it kind of puts everything in context, which I think is important.
I guess you really have to justify anything you want to spend then.
Absolutely.
That, you know, we'll spend $25,000 on this machine, but we'll get so much in return on it.
Absolutely. You know, and I pride myself on being, you know, and maybe I have a very poor sense of self-preservation, but I try to be very open and candid and truthful, because I've worked with too many people in the past that haven't been willing to tell the whole truth or say what needs to be said or guide the business in the best manner because the council didn't want to hear it, you know, because of politics. And I understand why they do that. But at the same time, I don't want to be the guy who keeps kicking the can down the road and saying, look, the parking lot needs to be fixed. And that's going to be, and it's not just it needs to be resealed, it needs to be redone, because there's going to come a point where it's washing away on each side. And I don't want to be the guy who keeps putting that off because he doesn't want to bring that bad news to the council. So I think I have that fiduciary duty to them to be honest and be candid. And fortunately, I've had a very receptive council who's been willing to listen. And at the end of the day, they say yes or no, or we can do that, or we can't do that. It got to a crucial point just recently. We talked about the labor issues and how state of California, the state itself, now we're a federal tribe. So we only have to follow the federal mandate for minimum wage, which I think is like $7.25 or $8. But in California, it's been moving up a dollar every year, and the goal is to reach $15 in two or three more years. But if you live in a jurisdiction where the local fast food chain is starting people off at $15 an hour to flip burgers, and you're doing $12 an hour, which is the state mandate, you're going to find that you're not going to be tapping into the best team members. Or even worse, they're not even going to approach you, because not only are you paying less, you got to go through a pretty rigorous background check, and you're doing drug tests. And we all know, especially in California and in a number of other states, the legalization of cannabis has kind of put the rules of what's appropriate and what's not upside down. So a lot of people don't want to go and do the drug test because you're testing for THC. Out of curiosity, has that topic come up any?
I mean, that's especially, well, it's the federal law, you know, still says marijuana.
It's still illegal.
It's an illegal drug. So it doesn't matter if the state approves it. I mean, this is in Nevada, you know, all the casinos have stepped away from drug testing. Not all of them, but some of them have. Some of them. I know Caesars has done it, but I think MGM still drug tests.
Yeah, I was so fascinated about when I drove in and how the plethora of billboards and advertising the cannabis business and how they deliver to your door and things like that. And, you know, everyone has their own personal views and opinion about it. Mine lean towards more of the conservative side. But I think eventually there's going to be a heck of a lot more regulation than there currently is.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I mean, you're talking about a drug that is, you know, they're doing edibles that are in the shape of children's candy and gummy bears.
And the strength of it is just unbelievable.
I mean, right.
People tell me, I mean, I smoked many, many years ago, but people tell me now it's nothing like the stuff that I did.
Yeah, well, that's just it. There's no regulations, and there's no standards in it,
right.
And it's... But as an employer, it's no different about the liabilities that if somebody comes intoxicated to work on opiates or under the influence of alcohol or anything like that. Well, but because there's such a popular culture around
sure.
it,
right.
it makes it okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. So... You caught my attention early on when you were doing some kind of crazy marketing campaign. And which was the one about
which one?
The one about space.
Oh, the space. Yeah. So I was at Saboba Casino, and we were that's a beautiful property. They just opened a big new casino
right.
Hotel in the San Jacinto area mm-hmm. Near Hemet, Temecula. And I was the director of marketing over there, and Scott Saroy was my GM. Mm-hmm. And they were celebrating their 20th anniversary. And I had been at a number of casinos, you know, and every year when they do their birthdays... Now, number one, it's all marketing,
right?
It's just another angle to make things, to differentiate us from everybody else, and to kind of make it somewhat appealing or newsworthy, so maybe we get some added press and added coverage, you know, added value
sure.
to the whole thing. So our 20th anniversary was coming up, which is a big deal, mm-hmm. you know, and that tribe's gone through a couple
they
of
have,
things.
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, you know, how do we celebrate such a pivotal moment, an important anniversary? Heck, you know, I remember when I made it 20 years with my wife, I was like, wow, this is great. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
So I felt it was important to celebrate or do something that was monumental and historical, just as us being around for 20 years was. And I remember my youngest son, who's now 17 and a senior in high school, he was fascinated with Legos. He just loved Legos. And a couple of Canadian kids launched Lego Man into Space, mm-hmm. which was a viral, viral
sure.
marketing today.
Yeah.
They put it on YouTube, and they basically stuck a little Lego Man, put a GoPro in front of it, and got like a weather balloon and launched
right.
it up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they had a GPS to find the recording.
Right.
They did that, and I was always fascinated with that, and I thought, gosh, you know, one day if I could ever do something that mm-hmm. used that. So when the birthday came around, I was trying to think of something that would be a lot better than, you know, it's our birthday, but you get the presents. You know, what could we do? And I remembered that, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we launched a slot machine into space?
Yeah.
You know, the first casino to launch a slot machine into space. So long story short is we had to do a lot of homework. I know more about space and space flight and the different levels of the atmosphere
right.
and the Armstrong line of, like, past that you have to have a spacesuit
right.
and weights. I mean, it's really the difference between aerodynamic and astrodynamics. I mean, I learned
yeah.
all this stuff. But long story short, we teamed up with a private company that does research mm-hmm. into these type of things. And they also work with a lot of schools, a lot of elementary schools, and they do little science projects with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd kill two birds with one stone. We would do this project of launching this slot machine into space and then do kind of a whole video recording of it. And then also work with the Noli School, which is the Indian school on the Saboba
okay.
Reservation,
mm-hmm.
so that they could do their science projects with it, which I thought was,
sure.
you know, just kind of
yeah.
all around.
Right.
And, yeah, that was our 20th anniversary. So we did this, and we got a film crew to – we kind of put together a whole goofy commercial. I looked at it as a mashup of The Right Stuff and Armageddon.
Yeah, right.
So we got, like, space suits and flight suits, and we had a whole flight crew, and everybody was on board. The entire team of the casino, the management team. Like I said, Scott Saroy, he's a beautiful man. He
yeah.
would do whatever I asked him to do. So he was, like, traffic control, and then he went out to the Nevada desert when we launched this thing. And then it landed on the side of the mountain, and it took him 2 days to find it. And we were scared because that was our footage of,
right, sure.
of our stupid slot machine in space.
They found it. They recorded it. We put it up on YouTube. We had a launch party and a viewing party.
Yeah.
Well, the dang video went viral, and we had over 500,000 hits. Wow. People were so fascinated by it, you know. And so, yeah, that was definitely a proud moment for us.
Sure.
We did, for our VIPs, we did the Players Club cards. Mm-hmm. We made special commemorative Players Club cards that were black, that looked like 2001, the monolith, right? We launched them up there, too. We were allowed a certain amount of weight of things. Mm-hmm. And that for the management, I collected a business card from each one of them, and that went up in space, too. So, and we did little certificates for the VIPs, like, hey, this card actually went into space.
Yeah.
So it worked out well. And with the Noli School, they got to do the little science projects too, which was fun. And to this day, people and the tribe, the council, you know, sometimes for the marketing guy to go to pitch these things, they look at you like, have you lost your mind, right? And council was pretty much let management do whatever they wanted to an extent. But they didn't really understand what the deal was. And then they went, I remember a couple of council members went to like NIGA or to one of the compact meetings or something. And another member of another tribe's council went up to them and said, hey, aren't you the guys who did that like slot machine in space or something? And you're like, that was really cool. I wish our people would did something as interesting as that. And, you know, the vice chairman came back to me and he said, you know, I didn't understand it, but when they started talking to me, a light went off.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, you don't see that kind of inventiveness in marketing that much in the gaming industry. It's mostly follow the leader, you know, do a version of what your competitor did down the street. Why do you think it's important to really have that kind of creativity in marketing?
Well, I think you have to, because of that fact, because everyone's kind of repeating themselves and copying themselves. I mean, Vegas is notorious for that, especially when it comes to some of their food and beverage outlets or... It's like nobody's original, or somebody comes up with a good idea, like the pool day parties and pool parties, and everyone else is on board.
Right.
But, you know, I always talk about differentiation and the experience, and it has to be experiential. It has to be something that the customer can get involved in and feel like they're getting something pretty unique and exclusive that they've never done or seen before. Perfect example is I was in Wisconsin at a property called Lake of the Torches, which is up in the north woods of Wisconsin.
Right.
It's frozen there 8 months out of the year. Okay, you can drive your Cadillac Escalade out on the lakes in the winter. That's how cold and frozen it is. And you're isolated up there, and you almost have the obligation to create fun and interesting things because that's all the entertainment you get. And back in those days, and we're talking about, oh, gosh, I don't know, 2005 around that? No, 2007, 2008. That's when reality TV was really starting to pick up beyond Survivor. I'm talking about like on the cable networks. Yeah. And there was this little show on History Channel called Pawn Stars. And Pawn Stars... Now, if you remember History Channel, it was just like old documentaries of World War II and colorized and things like that. And they obviously had a change of leadership over there that kind of delved into this. And this was their first foray into this sort of market. And it was a huge success.
Right.
And it became so big that these guys were on millions of TV sets. I mean, they surpassed network TV.
Right.
And... one day, so we would do these shows, and we would bring in, let's say, what was a big one? REO Speedwagon. We brought in REO Speedwagon, and before the show, you have something called meet and greet.
Right.
So you might have a meet and greet, which was contractually done, where you might be allowed 10 to 20 people to go in. And a lot of times, it's council or tribal members and some VIPs. And you watch the experience that they get to actually go and meet these people who are heroes. And for a place in Wisconsin, you never see this, right? And I thought to myself, gosh, how can we take this but give it to everybody instead of just 20 people? And I remember and being able to afford it, too, because it's not a booking REO Speedwagon and all the back line, it's not cheap. So I saw how popular Pawn Stars was, and I talked to my booking guy, Eddie Sandis of Entertainment America, and I said,
hey, why don't you reach out to them and see about them coming to the casino and just doing a meet and greet, like just meeting their fans. And the funny thing is, and this is kind of talks loudly of where they were at that time, so he calls over to the shop because they didn't really have management or, you know. And Chum Lee picks up the phone. Chum Lee doesn't pick up the phone anymore. Right. And so we – so long story short is we booked these guys to come up there. And the entire city came out. We had thousands and thousands of people. And it got covered in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I mean, because nobody had ever done anything like this before. And it got, it was so big, we actually started in the casino, and we had to move it three times, finally into the convention center, because there was just so many people. And we realized, wow, we're onto something here. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you saw the guests, you know, they're interacting with these people who they see every week, who they love, who they feel like they're part of their family, and they're up in Wisconsin. When are they ever going to have that opportunity? And so to be able to do something that's unique and creative, and of course we created a promotion around it and did our billboard. So I really tried to create a lot of synergy, did the felts on the tables, leverage it, because at the end of the day, their brand equity is a lot higher than little old Lake of the Torches up in Wisconsin. And so that's always been my mantra, is about experience, differentiation, creating synergy, and leveraging popular culture and brand to make it work and have fun with it.
And added value, as you mentioned.
And you got to have fun. You got to have, you know, you talk about your external customers, but they're internal customers, i.e. your own team members. And they got to feel like they're part of something special, too.
And that's where you build a team morale and team building type of things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so at Sherwood Valley Casino, for example, we small little property, a lot of competition around us. How are we going to be different? And I always remember when Barona had Kenny Rogers as their spokesperson. Remember? That was like the first one to do it. And all the billboards had Kenny Rogers on it. And I thought, wow, that's perfect. So I always wanted to have like a casino spokesperson, but a celebrity. Not a cheap venture, you know, the licensing and all that stuff. And there was always one person that I loved working with and was a great guy and cross demographics was Barry Weiss from Storage Wars. And I like Barry because he was doing it to have fun. He's an older guy. So, you know, older generation, the boomers, they look at him and they like him because he's super active and he's fun. Young people like him because he's cool and he's hip and he's super fun and collects cool cars. Women love him. Guys like him. It works.
And he's kind of the one that, that never makes any money every week, right?
But he doesn't care. Yeah, he's having a good time. He's tearing through. You know, he's got the little skull gloves. And so we reached out to him and he said, hey, what would you be willing to be our spokesperson, the face of the casino? And he had known, he knew the casino and knew the property. And long story short, so he's our spokesperson, our official spokesperson. And, you know, it was very unfortunate. He just had a motorcycle accident. So we announced it like right after the motorcycle accident. But in a good way, it worked out well because people were like, gosh, is he all right? You know, what's he doing now? Oh, he just got a gig as the spokesperson for Sherwood Valley Casino. And the tribe's been very happy about it, too. And we'll be having him up there in March. He's had to go through some, you know, physical therapy and surgery and stuff like that. But
well, you know, this is the kind of creativity we need in the industry. And I, that's why I wanted to bring you on here to talk about some of these things.
Oh, well, thank you.
And so thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. And good luck at Sherwood Valley.
No, thank you very much, Roger. Hopefully we'll be seeing more of each other.
They see Lilting Larry losing love like
hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast, brought to you by RIMAX, the industry's largest incentive provider and experts in customer loyalty, employee recognition, player loyalty, and corporate gifting. For more information, visit RIMAXInc.com. To learn more about tribal gaming in California, visit ggbmagazine.com or tribalgovernmentgaming.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry on your desktop every Monday morning, subscribe to GGB News at ggbnews.com. And to attract quality players to your online poker, casino, or sports betting website, visit igamingplayer.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. And we'll see you next week on the GGB podcast. Do 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 do.